The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show.
I still like doing the winger.
A weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
I'm Boar.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
And I'm Nikki.
And we're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff because this is Nerdy Show, and that's what we do. It's a potpourri of the entire Nerdiverse compressed into this one program. Now we do this kind of every other week. We had 2 weeks in a row of kind of alternative content. As you'll see, we're sort of on a back and forth schedule. We talked, myself and Mark with a C got together, talked about our deep feelings for David Bowie, followed by our landmark episode of State of the Empire, our all Willow Watch special, where we talked to Bob Dolman, the screenwriter for the George Lucas Ron Howard 1980 sci-fi fantasy epic Willow. And it was incredible. If you haven't listened to it, you should totally listen
to it. He's remaking it, right? That's what he said.
Ron Howard said, he said, never say never, is
Holy
what he said.
Shit.
I was right.
Okay. All right.
That's exciting.
Nikki, Brandon, it's been a while since you guys have been on the show.
It has, Cap, for some reason.
I don't think he likes us anymore.
Man, the end of the year, the beginning of the year, fuck that noise.
I've had nothing good to talk about. I mean, I still don't, but we'll see.
Well, what's been up with you lately, either of you?
Just playing video games, chilling, kicking back. Really? No, seriously, that's it. I've been stuck on one game till all the new games come out next month. So I've been playing like Disgaea 5 for like hours a day. There's one time I went to the hospital. Okay.
Are you okay?
Here's what happened.
That's a loaded statement.
Here's what happened. So my lady friend Denica, as you know her, because she might be something else that you don't know.
okay.
I'm digging a hole. So. For her birthday, her mom got her this crazy expensive Japanese, like you need a custom sharpener for it. It's like a Shun Japanese sushi knife. Crazy expensive.
Uh-huh.
And she's never made sushi before. So she did that with her mom and she came back with it because she went out of town to do that. So she came back with this knife and I was playing around with it and I'm like wearing boxer shorts.
Oh, no.
And I'm swinging my arm.
Oh, no.
And I'm turning at the same time. Cuts a little chunk of my dick off. So
Wait. Is this true?
No. Here's what happened. Like 30%. No. And then what I didn't know is you can go.
Did you say 30%?
It depends. It's more if I'm. Is it more?
I was ready to believe that you had like some sort of a minor brisk.
I didn't measure.
Situation,
I didn't
but
measure
30%,
it.
And I know
what happens is the nerves were still intact. Well, the base ones, and then the main artery. But they can put a metal rod in there, reattach the junk over it, and reattach the nerves. And it's a titanium rod. Works just fine.
I'm gonna file this under.
A titanium rod in your penis.
And that has been another segment of Brandon Lies to Y'all.
I'm like, so you just have like a perma boner going on like
You are good at this. You are good at this.
All of the real things that have happened
like,
to me.
I didn't notice that today.
All of the real things that have happened to me have been depressing. Here, let me tell a real thing that happened to me last Wednesday. I'm taking a bird out of a little kennel. It starts freaking out. You put a hood on it. It's calm. We give it some fluids, like we inject fluids, because that's the best way to rehydrate a bird.
We take the
hood off while I'm holding it, and it's already been dead the whole time.
Oh, my God.
So I like that you guys laugh about that. But so I'm holding the bird. By the way, it was alive when we started. All we did was put water under the skin and its leg. No, it was in its leg for like 10 seconds. Take off the hood, and it's like, and they're like, oh shit, I think it's, because someone come here, I think this bird's
maybe
dead.
It was in shock.
And then the best way to tell if a bird's dead is you poke it in the eye. So
naturally, we're learning
telling
us a bunch of stuff about birds that we obviously know.
Brandon is essentially a medical professional when it comes to birds.
I'm not.
So he does not have a degree, but he does work for an official institution.
We're just gonna
put that out there.
Look,
everything
just
he's
say,
doing is above
he's
board.
Great at bird
if you,
calls, though.
If you cuckoo! that one was the
It was amazing.
It was real. It works 50% of the time on like any bird. it either tells them to go away really fast or come hither, and it works 50% of the time.
5 out of 10 birds agree.
Yeah, but no, because when you poke a bird in the eye, it's like if I poked you in the eye while you were sleeping, actually, you don't have this part. Never mind.
Your inner eyelid would go over you.
They have the nictitating membrane, and if you poke a bird, even if they're unconscious, it'll
do a thing.
Yeah, it will blink, but when they're dead, it no blinky no more.
It doesn't do the thing anymore.
Yeah, and then you're obviously like, oh, shit's dead, and then you put it in a freezer and move on with your life. the other thing that's happening to me coming up is that I am actually, and you may like this, I'm taking a class at the end of February. I think it's like an all-day class on how to fly the quadcopter Phantom 3, and I get to fly one. They teach me. I don't know how hard it is to fly a quadcopter.
Well,
I've never done it. But the controls are sweet, and it's drone, got a cool ass screen on it. Yeah, quadcopter drone.
Okay, I think the Phantoms have quite a bit of like extra technology in them.
They have a lot of.
They've got
really
gyroscopes
cool.
and you can GPS click the map stuff that
you can click a map that is on the controller, and it will fly back to your location. And it uses sensors, so it doesn't tilt and wobble. It's like amazing, and they range from
the DeLorean drone.
Awesome. Wait, there's a DeLorean, like there's a car?
Have you seen the ones where they make like a Millennium Falcon one, and it's pretty much just like
I've seen a Millennium Falcon balloon made of helium, and you just go, whee! There's actually, the one with the big fan in the back. No, I've seen it.
They sell, in like Target, they sell these really cheap, small Falcon quadricopters, basically.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I have not seen them.
Well, before that happened, though, somebody posted a video online of one that they, like, handmade.
Oh.
So people have been hand-making stuff like Millennium Falcons, or the one that I showed her was a DeLorean.
I gotcha. It
lit up and everything. Right. That was baller.
Yeah. Makes sense. I have seen that, yes. And you know, at the top 20 nerdy things of 2015 list, we ranked underground drone races pretty high. Up was in the top 5.
I'm getting into
and,
it.
And
I think it was number 5.
Yeah, I don't remember.
It's really
number.
Cool. I can already see them doing stuff like.
I mean, that was last year, so it was a while ago. So
it was 2 months ago.
I can barely remember.
But Bor, you're actually getting into that scene.
Well, I'm
trying.
I thought about it.
Yeah,
how it comes down to it. I did. I watched a lot of videos, and I spent probably 2 weeks just researching them and trying to pick out which one I wanted. And I even got with like a local. There's a local group that races them every week.
And... Oh, so you probably know about the Phantom then, a little bit, the quadcopter.
It's not a racing one. The Phantoms are like
if I put racing stripes on it and some nitros.
See, is it all about racing, or is it sometimes like obstacles more so than anything?
Yeah, they set up like arches and have different things for you to go
like
around.
Rings and shit.
For my money, it's both. Yeah. It's obstacles and racing.
Right,
like, that's the point.
Yeah, exactly. But I learned that there's a huge barrier to entry. Like, to get everything that I wanted, it was going to be around $1,200 just to get started.
That's
and that's
bad.
Before I even get replacement parts and stuff like that.
I've seen like $2,000 for like a good kit.
So I wanted to hold off because I'm really excited about virtual reality, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit later. So I'll hold my thoughts on that. But I'm probably going to need a new computer for that, so I didn't want to fork out $1,200. So what I did was I bought a tiny little drone that I was told is good to use as a starter just to get used to the controls.
I'm waiting for like the how bad it was part.
Is it like batteries not included tiny? Like a tiny little spaceship?
It could fit in the palm of my hand.
Is it like
it's very small.
Free toy at Burger King?
Batteries not. How much
but,
is that?
But it has the first person viewing camera on it.
Okay.
So you can look at the remote and theoretically fly this thing. I couldn't do that much yet because I had a hard enough time just like getting it to hover and then like go forward. I slammed it into pretty much everything in my house.
Oh.
I think you're supposed to take them outside, which, you know.
It's hard. It's like
I'll
a helicopter.
I'll do that next.
Yeah.
But
what they should do is hook them
I think the
those...
ones with GPS and gyros
they
and stuff in them are a lot easier to use because, this one is flying all over the place. But a lot of the racing ones don't have that stuff. So if I can't get used to this one, I don't think I'm going to be
able
to race
them. It's
like
a video game. Just play some simulators.
Well, it is.
It's harder than a video game.
It is not as easy as it looks. It really, the first time I got my hands on a Parrot AR drone, I had one at the house. I wasn't going to keep it. It was like, it came into my possession. I was like, let me check this out. So, I was in the backyard. I put it on top of an overturned, like, Oscar the Grouch-style garbage can as, like, a landing pad. I got it on my phone. I have it raised up. I'm like, okay, that's pretty cool. And then all of a sudden, like, my ability to control that sucker, it just goes away. And all of a sudden, the thing flies over the roof of the house. And I'm like, oh, shit.
And
like, things
and it's gone.
It just got real. This is not good. And then so I run through the house to the front, and it's hovering above the road in front of the house. And there's this little kid like, what the fuck is that? Because this was several years ago. So that was, this is not
like the beginning of
common sight.
No, the one that I got, if you like let go of it, it'll just, it doesn't have any stabilization and there's no hovering. If you're not holding the throttle at a certain level and even going up and down on the throttle just a little bit, it's not going to hover properly.
That's why you need a Phantom, man. It stabilizes itself.
Yeah, but you can't race those. Money. They're slow.
Yeah, no,
and,
I'm sorry.
And they don't have all the maneuverability.
Couldn't you just like add your own kind of weight to it or something?
So anyway, yeah, I'm probably not going to spend the money on that for a little while until I can at least tame this $200 tiny one that I got.
Just do a GoFundMe.
That's your starter Pokemon. You gotta,
yeah, it's my
you
starter
level
Pokemon.
It up. Yeah.
But, you know, maybe eventually I'll continue down that road. But another fun thing that I got around Christmas and finally installed in my car was I got an Android Auto head unit, which is really cool. Do any of you
familiar
with that at all?
Is that one of the VR helmets?
An Android Auto thing that I installed in my car? Is that a VR helmet?
There is an Android VR thing, and I thought that it was something you installed in your car that let you drive.
What?
In virtual reality, you sit in your car.
Are you living
you sit
on?
It, like you sit in your car, you don't actually turn it on, and suddenly you're like driving.
It would explain
a
lot
world.
Of the drivers.
You can't
in
even have headphones on while you're driving.
The biggest problem is people walk through virtual reality, but you can drive. So I thought that's what you were getting at.
No, I did actually see a video where somebody took a drone and had it like auto follow their car, and then they did a third person. Like driving their car, and
that's really cool.
They were actually kind of successful, which it would be really disorienting. But anyway, Android Auto is more so you can integrate your Android phone more into your car, and I can have like Google Maps and control of my music and Google Now. Do any of you use Google Now?
No.
Are you guys all iPhone?
I use Google everything, but I have no clue what Google Now is.
Yeah, I got an iPhone, man. I don't know what this
Google
is.
Google Now is the creepy service from Google that will basically go through your email and search habits and stuff like that and give you information that it thinks you want. Like
you like this?
I do actually kind of like it because it'll tell me how congested my drive to work is going to be. And
yeah,
I can,
but you
with
can just
one
hold
button,
the button and be like, Siri, traffic, and it just shows you.
Yeah, but I don't have to do anything.
It just knows if
I'm going to have a bad time going to work.
Is this that
and I can
Vince?
Hit a button and it'll navigate me like maybe around obstacles and stuff.
Will it just be like turn around? It's not worth it.
Here's
today.
An example of something that Android, I'm sorry, Google Now was really creepy with. My girlfriend forwarded me her itinerary when she was going to be flying out of the country.
Oh, no.
And as soon, I didn't do anything. I just had this itinerary in my email. And Google Now was popping up notifications like, hey, it's time to leave to get to the airport on time. And I was like, shit, we do have to go to the airport. And then she got to the airport and I went to work. And it was like, your flight was delayed 20 minutes. So I sent her a message and I was like, oh, stuck in the plane for 20 minutes, huh? And she was like, how do you know that?
So you don't even need to research anything anymore.
No.
It's like, it'll tell you things you didn't realize you should be probably thinking about, but you weren't.
Right.
I mean, I do want a virtual personal assistant. It would change my life. It would make everything better. The company that Apple bought Siri from has a AI that's going to be like a personal assistant called Viv that they are launching sometime this year. That's going to be like another game changer probably. And everyone's, you know, asking the question of, is it too much? You know, is it too much information that we're bequeathing to these? Like, how are they going to work? I don't know the answer to that. I do know, however, that I want a singularity, Ray Kurzweilian-style, like, artificial intelligence to be my pal and help me do my shit easier.
You say that now, but when they get out of hand, you will destroy it. So.
I don't know. I mean, if, according to Ray Kurzweil, you're more likely to fall in love with one and then eventually upload your consciousness and then combine your mutual consciousnesses into a single new consciousness, a fusion of formerly human consciousness and artificial intelligent consciousness, that according to him, that is more likely than that eventuality. But
I don't know what you said, but I'll drink to that.
Or not. Or Nikki, it's been a while. What is up? How you doing?
I am okay. I've been working a lot, mostly like 6 days a week right now. Been saving up some money, been moving houses, but on the side I've been on a pop doll.
She's been moving the Funko houses, and boy, her arm's tired.
It's okay. A heavy house, man.
Pop is the craziest thing. Because, like, it should have been a fad, right? And it's not. Like, it's lasted so much longer than Beanie Babies at this point.
Wait. Can someone go back and explain what the hell? Are you pop, okay, do like, you know what soda pop or pop, music pop?
Do you know Funko Neither. Pop dolls, the little vinyls?
They're like these cutesy deformed things. They have like every franchise in the world. Oh, yeah, black eyes.
Okay, I know what you're, I see them in a ton of stores now. Yeah.
The giant dead eyes.
From all the Guardians of the Galaxy and like all the Batman. Yeah.
From small comic book stores to Target, everybody's got pop figures. Okay,
I didn't know they were referred to as pop.
They're pop dolls.
Yeah.
If you owned them and were cool.
That Funko's the company that makes
people
them.
People always call them Funko.
It's like
Funko
I've never heard anybody call them
Funko.
Has a lot
of different
they call them pop
vinyl
figs.
Dolls out right now. So this is specifically the pop vinyl line.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a thing. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing.
I'm not down with
and
all their marketing.
It's a thing that has not died. It's huge.
So the thing is I never realized how huge the there is a community.
Oh, yeah.
I knew there were collectors and people who were like, ooh, I need all my Disney shit as, like, per usual, which, I mean, is cool, but, like, I don't know. I worked at Universal Studios, so, like, I worked with every single human being that was obsessed with collecting...
Theme park shit.
Yeah. So I originally, to me, like, the pop dolls, I just didn't give a crap. I had a few, you know, like, E.T. and then, like, the DeLorean from Back to the Future pop dolls, because those are cool.
Mm-hmm.
But, recently I'm finding out, like, okay, so there's exclusives that come out, and they're limited run only, and you can only get, like, only Walmart will be selling this particular exclusive.
That's how they get
only
you.
Only Walgreens will have you. This exclusive. So
people sounds go to like Walgreens Amiibo on Fever. Purpose.
Yeah.
There was a Walgreens exclusive fucking Star Wars action figure. The Traitor. Like nines.
Was this in 1979?
No, like this fucking year. The guy who you know throws down with Finn in Force Awakens. Traitor, that dude.
Oh, I forget his name. Oh. But yeah.
His name's Nines. He goes by Nines. Okay. But like that guy's figure was Walgreens exclusive before they had any idea, you know, what he was going to turn out to be.
Like exclusive, like they're not making it for anyone else right. now.
It wasn't.
Gone.
That's how it works.
They're probably going to make more in another line, but originally it was not distributed anywhere but Walgreens.
Yeah, they'll reprint stuff, but then they won't be worth as much. Where right now, a lot of people around like America, not everybody has Walgreens, so the Walgreens exclusives. So what I'm doing is flipping that shit.
Oh,
yeah. I used to know someone who came into like a Toys R Us, and you may know this person as well. I will
I
not
do.
Mention his name.
I hate his
and
guts.
Buy everything. So no one else, like no little kids can enjoy toys, and then charge like 10 times or 5 times the amount, like online.
Yeah.
It was a dude, I'm not going to name names again, but this is a dude who was specifically, he was running game on all Marvel Legends action figures in the entire Orlando metropolitan area. I'm talking he would hit every store that got them in. It was his whole life. He was driving around constantly going to these places and then would go to comic book stores, like small places, and try to like flip them by hand. He wasn't using eBay like an intelligent person would do. But was basically making sure that there was in town no Marvel Legends action figures that weren't marked up like crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I can't really blame you for running game on the Walgreens exclusive pop figures. It's kind of a different thing.
There was no Christmas
that year.
There
are like YouTube guides where people are showing you like apparently 1 a.m. is like the time to – I mean I don't need to be like giving
should
you guys –
Should I be angry at like
– I shouldn't be giving away my secrets.
I'm
going to
say you people because I'm assume you're one of them. But should I be angry at you guys? I mean I don't give a shit about collecting these things.
This is my first
if
week.
You did it to video games, week, if you did so. It to video games, I would fucking murder you.
Video games are too expensive. I seriously got a pop doll that's an exclusive. And I used, like, you know how you get the rewards.
Walgreens
I got, like, $3 off of a pop doll that was already $8.99. And then I look online, and they're selling it for $30. So,
Well, that happened to the Amiibos. First run, right?
People still get the Amiibos. Yeah. But then they're putting out remodels, and they're, like, felt now.
I don't know
stuff.
Anybody who buys Amiibos all the time.
I try to buy them all. I don't even use them that much.
He's giving me eyeballs.
It was a thing. Maybe not anymore, but at one point, people were buying them all the time.
I got Lucas. That's all I need. I'm done for a while.
I found Little Mac. I'm sorry. Or Lil Mac. I don't know what they call him. I found him in the store. He was from the first release, and people were selling him for like $80, $90 online. I went to a random game store, and there was just one sitting on the shelf. I was like, how is this happening? And I bought it for like $13 and gave it to someone as a gift. Unbeknownst to me that they recently just like re-released it. I thought I'd found some magical moment, but it was just I was stupid.
Here's the weird thing I did. I just interviewed Phil Collins. Not for Nerdy Show.
I'm so jealous.
Yeah, you are?
Yes.
Cool.
When I saw your post, I was just I didn't know if it was one of your dreams though.
No.
See, I was like, did he really, though?
This is a real thing that happened. It's for Consequence of Sound. By the time you're hearing this, as this episode like comes out, the day it comes out, I don't know if this is going to be published yet, but it'll be a text interview. And I'm putting it together. I'm selecting which parts of the interview are actually going to make it onto the page. Consequence of Sound is the music and film website that I'm the art director of and that I write for and do. I'm kind of their specialist, so like when they have very specific older musicians, I'm kind of their go-to person for that. Anyway, that's a whole nother discussion. But there's a part of the interview that really meant a lot to me that kind of got a little weird. And if I do include it in the article, it's not going to translate how weird it was. So I want to play it for you guys right now, which is me talking to Phil Collins about that one time he was in Miami Vice. The episode from season 2, Phil the Shill, which is one of the greatest moments in 80s television history, a show that opens with Phil Collins as a weird host for a game show called Rat Race, him standing between Emo Phillips as the completely inept contestant and Michael Talbot, who played Stan Switek on the show as the Elvis-obsessed other contestant, and just a bizarre, perfect moment, an incredible episode. If you've never watched Miami Vice, just watch this one episode. You can watch all of them on NBC.com. Here's the time that I think I was doing well with Phil Collins. I think we had a little bit of a rapport for a moment, and then I think I lost him.
Oh, no. Dude, I don't want to hear that part. I'm going to be so sad.
It's all in good fun, but I think...
Was there just a point where he's like, who the fuck am I talking to? Hold on, get into this. That's what he sounds like.
Have a listen for yourself.
Phil, I am a huge Miami Vice fan.
In the day, you know, those early couple of series were still classic.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Now, I will be going back to Miami, which is where I live, the weekend.
The news that you made your place of residence in Miami, I was like, oh, this is perfect.
You know, I drive around there, obviously drive the kids to school, and I drive around, you know, the South Beach area. Mm. And I look for places that I try to remember places that we worked on, but, you know, it was 30 years ago we did that episode.
Yeah.
And Miami has changed hugely. It's unrecognizable from the Miami of the 30 years ago. And I can't find anywhere that we worked. We only spent a week there, but it was really intense week, and it was great fun.
If you're open to it, I want to hear all about it.
Maybe not now.
No, okay.
You asked him that.
Hold on.
I mean, you know, I got the story is in brief. They've used a lot of my music, you know, obviously they used In the Air in the pilot episode.
Yeah.
Fred Lyle, he was the music director. I never met him, but I knew of him. And he used to use my music, and others, of course, but he used my music very, very well. And he would take songs that I wouldn't have thought. He used Long, Long Way to Go and Take Me Home. And they were always used very sensitively, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, eventually they called me and said, we'd like you to be in an episode. And I said, well, fine, send me the script. You know, I said, I don't really, you know, not a big bit, just a cameo. And they said, yeah. Well, I got the script. And I remember the day I got the script. I was living in England, and it was a summer day, and I went out to start reading it on the garden. And I turned over the page that I was in, and then the next page, and then I turned that over. And I was in pretty much 90% of the script, you know.
Yeah.
And I called him and I said, listen, I can't do this. I mean, I haven't acted for ages, you know, and I'm in most of the script. I thought it was a cameo. And they said, don't worry about it. Just come over. We'll have a lot of fun. So I learned the script and I went over there. And it was fantastic fun. And I found that I was pretty good at it, you know. And people were coming up to me and saying, hey, you're good at this. You've done it before. And I said, well, only as a kid. But, you know, when that episode was aired, it led, because that was in my imperial years, you know, and I was in the mid-80s. I mean, I was everywhere. But it led to me getting the part in Buster, and it led to me getting an Australian film called Frauds, which I starred in, which was much better than Buster, but it's an unknown film. So it was great fun to do, and I stayed in touch with Don Johnson, and I still, the percussionist in Tarzan was married to Sandra Santiago, who was one of the ladies in that series.
Yeah, Gina.
Yeah, Gina. Yeah, you're a specialist. Yeah,
you can see that.
I've got to go, man. I've been given the warning.
All right, man. Well, thanks so much, and fingers crossed that Life is a Rat Race shows up as a B-side on one of these re-releases.
Which one? Which one does?
Life is a Rat Race, the track from
Vice.
Oh,
God, yeah.
Please.
Well, you really are a detail fan.
Thanks so much, man. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks, man. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow.
So I was doing well until...
until he's like, this guy is going to like steal what hair I have left and struggle with it.
I didn't think it was that bad. Like, he
a lot of that's edited.
Like, oh, wow, you're really...
I don't know, but you could hear like the, do you watch me when I pee too? sort of like tone
like,
in his voice.
You remember like, more details I mean, about my life than I do.
Don't be so like full of yourself there, sir. I'm a fan of Miami Vice.
That's right. Not you, although you are.
I don't know what he was. He eventually said like, "Oh, you're a specialist," and I was like, "Oh, you know, specialist is nice." But then I was at least re-listening to. He's like, "Oh, you're a," and then I was like, "What was the F? What was he gonna say?" And then he corrected himself.
Wow, a fecialist about feces.
Oh,
a fecialist.
That's more like your line of work, isn't
it? Yeah, you know, that's what I do.
The guano. Anyway, let's.
Did you ask him important things like? Oh. No. I know you asked him important things, but I meant like real important things, like what's Don Johnson's phone number? Why'd you do Tarzan? Did you really feel it coming in the air tonight? What was that?
Aaron and I were joking about interviewing him but only with questions you would ask Peter Gabriel.
Holy shit! You would never be allowed to do an interview again. But fuck, that would be just.
Well, I mean, he would just amazing. The phone call would just disconnect immediately.
You would think that, but I've seen similar situations in which
like,
they were not.
Oh, Phil, it's great to talk to you. Love Sledgehammer, man.
Yeah. The only time you can really get away with that is like if they are trapped in that room with you, like around this circle, and then they're a little more obligated where, yeah, over the phone, you got to be careful.
I mean, what's the fun in that? They get mad at you and then like nothing. It's not like you're really provoking someone who's going to give you a good reaction. You're just going to get an angry musician is what you're going
to
get.
You know what? It would have been great if you ended that way, like, oh, it was really nice for you to be here, Phil Collins. And you know, goodbye, but, and I want to be your sledgehammer, and then disconnect, and then just give him, and like when he's at home, he's like, what the fuck? Oh, he thinks I'm Peter Gabriel.
I was expecting something like, oh, you're gonna be living in Miami. That's not too far away. What are you doing next?
You're
week?
Like, I live in Miami.
Well, I mean, like, but he was great. Like, it was a really wonderful interview, and we'll link to that interview on this episode's page. Like, it was a great time. He and I seemed to have a great time, as great a time as you can have, you know, with the a press vulture. Like chomping at your life, you know. Like I just assume
he knew what the fuck he was getting into. When
of course,
he
does.
You know, music.
He's a consummate professional.
Yeah.
Anyhow, let's talk about Pokemon. How's that? How's that?
Hardest
for
of all transitions.
Okay, I will transition this aptly. Here's something I didn't get to ask Phil about, and I don't know how this would have shaped up exactly. In the 1980s, I only recently discovered this. In the 1980s, Phil Collins joked about filming a movie. An adaptation of Goldilocks and the Three Bears starring him, Bob Hoskins, and Danny DeVito.
Holy shit.
It was a passing comment. It was just a joke. People thought it was real, and they started asking all three of those people about it constantly until it was he's like, well, I've met them, but we don't talk. We don't know each other. So then he's like he eventually this is according to some things I read on the interwebs. He asked them, would you be interested in doing this? And they all were like, shit. That's weird. Sure. People are asking about this. People there's interest in this. Like, yeah, okay. And ultimately, I don't think a finished script ever got produced. It never got far enough along. And obviously, Bob Hoskins is no longer with us. But yeah, so there's an alternate universe out there somewhere where there was a Three Bears film starring Phil Collins, Bob Hoskins, and Danny DeVito. How cool would that be? And Danny DeVito, boy, he would make a great Detective Pikachu. And that's my segue.
Oh, that
he really, really would. Like, now that I've
brought
picture
it
that.
Back around somehow.
Wow. And just not random at all. Yeah.
So, all right. I'm going to get into this game coming out because it's freaking adorable, but sadly, we're not going to have it in America for
Who knows?
Quite some
time. So we're talking about Detective Pikachu now.
Detective Pikachu. But it's in English. Let me point out.
It is it?
The trailer, all English.
There's an English trailer now.
Or maybe.
Wait, no. No, there isn't. No, there isn't.
You know what? You're right.
There isn't, because there's no voice
I don't know.
Acting.
I understood everything. Maybe there were subtitles.
There's subtitles. Okay. Yeah. Sometimes when I read
subtitles.
Your brain auto-corrected the Japanese.
Always, yeah, exactly. I used to watch anime and stuff like that. So for me, it just. It goes in like English. Anyway.
I understand.
So, yeah, The Great Detective Pikachu, The Birth of a New Duo. Oh, my God.
Who's the other one?
I'm so – an actual Pikachu. Okay, so there's a detective Pikachu who threw me off because he has a very deep voice. You know, the entire time he was talking like this, very serious.
Pikachu days.
I'm like, where's the cute, like, Pika? You know, and I'm like, where's that? Where's
right.
– Because it's supposed to be adorable, but you know, it's still pretty cute, like watching him like hunting things. But then at the end of the trailer, all of a sudden, another Pikachu pops up who does actually sound like
Pikachu,
the
is.
Beloved. Yeah, exactly. The
that
beloved
might
Pikachu.
Be the real
said it was
Pikachu
in Japanese.
Right. So at first, I was like, oh, that's the birth of a new duo. Mm. But then I'm finding out this Detective Pikachu is actually going to have a human sidekick named. Tim Goodman.
Tim Goodman. But they gave him, I don't know, it's weird that the Japanese would give him.
He's wearing a red hoodie, though. I was
an
like.
English name. But,
huh. Well, I mean, they're
he's
all.
He's a Pokemon trainer, and from what I read, and I don't know how accurate this is, that, like, from the trailer, Detective Pikachu is, like, talking, and he's got, like, a voice, and then when he goes out to talk to a human, it just sounds like, Pika, 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 and they don't understand. And I think he's seen, like, a murder. But he can't tell people, but this one trainer somehow understands him.
Is this legit? Are you telling
me? No. Okay. This, so this is one.
I'm like, are you just coming up with a great
know when
idea?
Brandon
I don't,
lies
I, guys, I don't even know if I'm lying
and
right
Pikachu
now.
Pikachu has a titanium rod in his
So there's this. I almost. Do I? No.
I'm sorry.
No, well, from what I read, so this Tim Goodman is this one human who can understand this Pikachu.
Okay.
So they team up to solve crimes. I swear I saw a dead body at the beginning, and that's why he's freaking out and like trying to tell people. Dead bodies in a Pokemon game. I don't believe that, but yeah.
Well, I don't know.
It's getting dark, man.
But it's a 3DS game.
Yes.
And it's already out in Japan.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it looks beautiful. Like
I don't know how the reviews
are. It looks
are.
Very high definition. Like I'm excited for it.
Well, it's a puzzle game, like cinematic puzzle game. I don't know how the gameplay actually is, but you go around and solve puzzles and it's like a cinematic.
It's like Professor Layton? Is that
That's what that's the closest thing I'm thinking to. Yeah. I think it's like a Professor Layton type game.
There could be stuff like that. I'm sure they'll have like a mixed Ball
I know there's
stuff.
No Pokemon like fighting. I can tell
oh,
you right
gosh,
now.
No.
Yeah, like
maybe like illegal like back alley cockfight style Pokemon fighting.
Maybe. I mean, honestly, I'm not entirely sure. I think there's going to be puzzle things. I think there might be times even where you go into things and you have to basically play like I Spy kind of
like mini games.
Mini games and stuff like that. I think. I mean, it is made for the younger audience.
It was a dead body.
As all the Pokemon games are, but at the same time, I'm going to play the shit out of it as soon as I possibly can.
There was a hole in a person. He's like, give me some trash to plug the hole. Oh, wait, that's the other trailer I saw. Sorry.
Yeah.
But the Danny DeVito element is that this when this gets translated, they need a voice, and some beautiful genius online decided it should be Danny DeVito.
Change.org. And don't say no, because you haven't heard the trailer with Danny DeVito in it yet, because it exists. So change.org, there's a petition. It's got about 45,000 signatures. I thought I was going to say 45.
Oh, right.
45,000 to have Danny DeVito.
Yes.
I don't know how he feels about it. I haven't read anything about it. But someone made the exact same trailer, but put clips from various Danny DeVito, not clips, but audio from various Danny DeVito things in
it. It could be fun. I don't know. It's just, again, I'm still thrown off by the voice that they chose for him in Japan. It's so just to
You'll
choose
love Danny,
Danny
DeVito
accent. As Pikachu, and I'm just, he's so, Pikachu is adorable.
This is not
Danny
the
DeVito
same, this is not the Pikachu that
about
you know.
The same height.
This is a different Pikachu.
No, clear.
This is a Meowth detective.
Coat, right?
This what? Is like a hard-boiled detective.
No, he's got a hat. He's got a
really? No trench coat?
Hat.
Dude, he's
no, he definitely does not. He has like a little magnifying glass, I believe. And then, yeah, he's got his little.
That's actually a joke in the game because
Don't
he
you
walks
understand?
Around.
I'm a man trapped inside a Pikachu body. Get that Thunderstone away from me. I got to solve this mystery with my magnifying glass. Oh,
I would say
give me a toe knife.
We need cap on this shit.
I would say
I was waiting for a toe knife to come in, actually. I was really waiting for
a toe knife
to
get in between my little peaky toes.
I would say load the clip, but I don't think we have those. You know, later.
So, I mean, the description for Pikachu in this game is he is shy, can't hold a charge, and likes beautiful girls and tea.
Like his iPhone, you know,
he can't build up his electric charge and like.
So he's a worthless Pikachu. Fight.
That's why he's a detective.
It's an electrical impotence.
Yeah, he had to develop his mental abilities because he was physically like
Meowth.
Yeah,
can't do anything but speak. No.
He had to heighten one of his other senses.
Did you guys see the Super Bowl trailer?
The one that made us all cry?
Dude, I cried like a freaking baby.
I don't cry.
Oh.
This trailer was released a couple weeks before the Super Bowl. It's 70 seconds. Which
I think the Super Bowl is going on right now as we're recording.
As we're recording it, yes.
And by the way, how dare you guys make me come out here during the fucking sports event of the year where like the Bruins and the Marlins are probably playing.
I think
the greatest game of soccer/football in the history of whatever, and I'm doing this. I could be eating chicken wings, sitting on my fat ass, rooting for team, going, it's my team, but it's not your fucking team, and going, oh, they threw the bowl, and the bowl? It's about a bowl.
Dude, I just need a segue really quick, because I was watching Saturday Night Live, and they were, or some show, I'm not even really sure, and people had to, like, tweet songs, but, like, for the Super Bowl. So, you know that song, Hotline
Bling?
Yeah, that one.
That can only mean one thing.
Hotline Bling. I can't even sing it properly. But he's like, when I hear the doorbell ring, I know it's going to be chicken wings.
Oh, shit.
I loved it. I cracked up when I didn't do it any justice, but I suck, so. But let me tell you, if you go and watch this episode, it was amazing. Anyways, back to
whatever the hell we were doing.
Powerful commercial. Live action Pokemon commercial.
Yeah, so it was a live action Pokemon commercial. It starts off like very, I can do that, I can do that.
Inspirational.
It seems very inspirational. You're not sure what it's leading up to. And then all of a sudden they're in the middle of just a huge arena fight, like a gym. Poke gym, yeah.
So it looks like American football.
It looks crazy. It's just huge. And yeah, it was live action. And as soon as they like shot to there, he's got the vest on and they like span back. Like, I don't know why, but you know, I mean, I'm a girl. I could cry at the drop of a hat. I see a cute kitten. I want to cry. But like, for some reason,
not all girls do that.
It's so
sad.
I
know girls who don't cry. Okay. Be ashamed of yourself. See, well, geez, no, I didn't mean to cry. Shit.
But no, for real, I teared up.
Yeah, I had no idea what that commercial was about.
I don't either.
It's celebrating the 20th anniversary of Pokemon. That's really all it's doing. It's gearing us up for an entire year of massive Pokemon releases. I assume most of which we don't actually know about yet. We know Pokemon Go is coming this year. We know we're getting the
genre changes. Like, I mean, there's going to be like Pokemon remakes, and there's Pokemon Go, but there's also Detective Pikachu is a different type of game. Pikachu, not Pikachu. That is a very different thing.
Oy vey, we got a mystery.
You know what? I'd watch that, and Danny DeVito could still do that.
I just want to point out.
The FPS coming out. First-person shooter Pokemon.
Hail Caesar in theaters, the new Coen Brothers film, and Robert Picardo, the EMH from Star Trek Voyager, was in it as like a really, really indignant rabbi, and it was an excellent moment.
As soon as he popped up on screen, me and...
Wait, which movie is this?
Hail Caesar, the new Coen Brothers movie.
As soon as he came on the thing, we all just went... Lean forward, like the entire theater, like saw our row just like pop forward, like
Robert Picardo.
And they're all looking at us, like, what the fuck? And they're like, it's our god. He's also from Star Trek. I would just like the Voyager.
So. Yeah, that's what I said. I'm sorry. Voyager.
Oh, I'm also used to Stargate over here.
Oh,
so.
Yeah, Stargate.
Sorry.
Yeah,
also. Boom. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
Anyway. I freaked out because I watched Innerspace not too long ago. And I saw him and I was like, holy crap.
Cowboy.
I haven't seen this movie for like 25 years, but.
Just side note, go see Hail Caesar. It's really good. It's getting slammed. I don't know why the reviews are so bad. It's great. I loved it.
Why is it getting slammed?
Because there were two old women in the theater.
They came out the best reviewers.
And there was a guy who was like taking like a status on how people like the movies, like one of those info peoples. And he was saying that all the old people coming out of this movie, old women specifically, they didn't like it because they're there for their George Clooney and they're upset that their George Clooney is being a bumbling idiot and being kind of weird. George Clooney's in a weird movie, and they need their George Clooney to be handsome and to want to get with them someday. So that wasn't really fulfilling their needs. And so they were, these old ladies, they were indignant. They were like fucking mean about it. They hated that
old film. Ladies are always mean about everything.
Some of them are nice.
Nope.
Some of them make biscuits.
With poison.
And cookies.
Poison
anyway,
biscuits?
Anyway, yeah. Pokemon. So they're doing a bunch of stuff this year with Pokemon. All kinds of stuff. Most of, and I assume some big announcements that just aren't out yet. Probably E3. Mm. Time, well, Nintendo doesn't really care about E3. But...
They do care about announcing things at the same time as E3. Mm. So.
And then sadly being disappointed.
In the morning when you can't watch them because you're busy.
I think the closest I'm going to get to playing Pokemon this year is still Pocket Mortys.
Probably. Oh, man. Like 19 new ones were released in the latest update.
There's I heard about ones. That. Yeah.
Holy shit. Okay.
I don't have time for this shit. I am still trying to be the very best Pokemon master.
And... I combined two Veiny Mortys. Do you know what I got? I got, yeah, they're called Veiny Mortys. And I think I sent you a picture.
You did.
Skinless Morty?
No skin Morty.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he's just like, it just says like, hates Rick. It's just like, like tried to make like a zit removal cream, now hates Rick. Like, that's it.
Wow.
It should have had the caption like star of the personal space show.
Before we get on any farther, we got to give some shout outs to some wonderful, wonderful people who've decided that they like our programming on the Nerdy Show Network enough that they would give us some denomination of money every month on Patreon. And we give them cool stuff in return, cool bonus stuff exclusive for them. But they also make sure that we can keep doing this, that we can keep making new shows and all kinds of wonderful things. We're working towards a lot of milestones and so on. We're going to be working towards after we're about to hit $1,000 and $100 or so. We're going to hit $1,000 a month. And that's going to mean that we can bring back some other series. We can pay for editors. And then we're going to be working towards the goal of actually being able to buy Doug, full-time Doug. He will quit his job and work for Nerdy Show.
What if someone buys him first? Because he's apparently for sale.
Well, that's danger. That's dangerous. So we gotta make sure we get him first. Anyway, new patrons. We got Kevin Askham and Allison Parent. And Allison Parent, she said, "Hello, I just recently became a $20 monthly backer for the Nerdy Show Network. I see I can give you guys a message to read whatever I say." And her first message is this.
Was that her entire message?
I was like, and that was her message.
that was what she said when she first was like, "Hey, here we are. We're doing this thing." And then she said, this is her first message of the month. Because at $10 and up, you will have a constant platform to us. Once a month, we will say, do whatever you want, basically, on the air. Allison Parent would like to remind all her fellow nerds to use less plastic, take shorter showers, and go buy a sustainably sourced reusable water bottle. Which I think is a very important message. We should do that. We're nerds. We're smart. Let's be responsible.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, I do what I can. I do what I can.
I have a glass water bottle that I use. I'm allergic to plastic. I'm lying again. I'm not allergic to plastic. But I don't use it.
We have one more patron to announce, and it's a big one. We should probably do a drum roll. All right. Fenrir Gochad is an executive producer of Nerdy Show.
What does that mean? Explain.
That means he's giving us $100 a month.
What? Wow. Holy shit.
Fenroy Gochad? Did I say that right?
Fenrir Gochad.
Fenroy.
I know Fenrir.
Fenrir's
awesome.
Yeah, Fenrir. He is awesome. He's been with us a long time. Fenrir. And now he owns us. So, and here we have a special treat for you. Could you pass this down to Boar, please? Wait. Don't open that yet.
Why do I have this?
He's chosen to use.
I can't Vanna White this thing?
He's chosen to use his new executive powers for mischief.
Oh.
And Boar, he's.
Oh, is this what I think it
yes,
is?
It is.
Yes.
He's taking you up on your offer to issue the first negative shout out
that we've ever done. I can't wait. Okay.
I can
open this now?
Yes.
Oh, I'm
so hope
excited.
I hope you like Anthrax.
This is. I don't know if the two of you like even listen to Nerdy Show, but a few episodes ago, I said that if somebody paid us, we could do negative shout outs.
I didn't think you were serious.
If they wanted us to diss somebody.
Is it going
to
be another like page?
That's a good way to get money, negative. Though. It's a good way to get money.
This is going to be good.
It's going to be beautiful. I'm ready.
I'm really excited that this happened.
This is a little irresponsible, guys.
Don't hold back my girlish giggles.
This is addressed to his ex-wife, Zayn.
Oh,
Z-A-Y-N. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. Zayn?
I have no idea.
Zayn. However that goes.
Okay. Super Zayn.
And he has to say, "Ha! I'm more productive without you than I ever was with you."
Wow.
So diss on you, ex-wife Zayn. He's way more productive now!
Maybe he's more reproductive.
Damn.
Got this hand, got this hand.
Don't, this is a sick burn.
Got two hands, don't need a woman.
Yeah. Oh. Plus he's got Tinder. He's probably getting all the ladies on that Tinder.
Or Grindr, whatever way he's going.
Well, yeah, I guess
he likes himself a sub sandwich and he wants to get on that.
Or the new one, Blender. Which is, I think, both of them combined. I don't know.
Does that mean that there's like 50% more gay people?
It's just normal, I think.
I'm pretty sure.
Blend R.
Wow, I'm really excited that I got to do that.
He goes on to say that message may have actually been too nice.
I really wish it was longer. Honestly, that, I was ready for like some serious, like dark, in-depth.
Let me just show this real quick because like I was like, oh, this is in. It came in an envelope and it's on a full sheet of paper.
One line.
There's this is all that there is.
Oh, you didn't read the PS at the bottom. It says, this is covered in anthrax. Please give it to her.
that was maybe too nice. It would make more sense if he told us all the stories, but he's opted not to because that would probably bore us. But
do you guys feel like
sorry
maybe...
Sorry if you're listening, Zane.
Congrats, Fenrir, on the, I guess, beneficial separation.
Yeah.
Do you think maybe you've opened some sort of Pandora's box? And no, I'm serious.
I hope
Like something really bad is going to happen.
Yes, I can't wait.
I hope.
Like, you're going to read another envelope. Well, I'm assuming you read it first. But what if you get something sent to you and it's like, haha, who has your kids now? You'll never see them again. And it's like,
well, Boar's been getting messages like that regularly. But
well, he's okay with those types of messages.
That was some dark shit, and we need to go back into that at some point. I mean, we recorded all of that stuff,
right?
But we haven't released it.
It was because a pain in the ass to edit.
There's some legal. There's some legal issues behind.
We realize, but if you've seen Boar's unboxing videos, you'll know what we're talking about. If not, check out Boar's unboxing videos.
I've only seen the first two.
Well, that's all that there is. It took a dark turn.
We recorded more of them.
That's all that there's publicly. Yeah.
Oh.
Some stuff happened.
Oh. Yeah.
We can't really go into it legally yet. So hopefully the rest of those will be released soon.
I made the envelope preparation for this.
It was
for Boar because I knew he would be really excited, and he was.
I think it would be great. I think it would
Has
be
anybody
great
ever seen me that excited about anything?
No. Frankly, no. I've never seen you that excited.
We get to be evil?
All right. So Patreon is one way to support us, one way to support the whole network. But I do want to tell everybody about a way to support Nerdy Show that involves no money whatsoever and is really, really important. We weren't sure how important this was. For years, because there was not a lot of conclusive information about it, but that is rating and reviewing us on iTunes. You may have heard us mention it in all of our intro or outro stuff, mostly outros. And the way it works is on iTunes, you can go on, you can give it a 1 to 5 star rating, any program, any podcast on there. You could just give it a rating, or you could also write a short review. And based on the number of ratings, that is how likely it is that someone's show will show up when people are making general searches for topics and so on. So it would make Nerdy Show programming more discoverable. And we have feeds for every different show on the network. There's a feed for all the shows we release. And there's a feed for just this show, just Nerdy Show, the flagship podcast. And then we have, you know, all the different other shows, Epic Podcast, Wicked Anime, Flame On, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Dungeons and Doritos. We don't have a lot. We've mentioned it, but we've never asked you guys specifically, could you please do this really on the air?
We want you to do all of it. Go to every single one and rate it with all of the stars.
Yeah, could you please do that?
Like, how many stars are there? Is there five?
There's 5 stars, yeah.
We want 5 stars.
And most of our shows that actually have public ratings are 5 stars, but you have to get a certain amount of ratings before you can have any stars displayed at all. And some of our shows don't even have enough, and it doesn't take that many. So basically, it's something we've seen our download numbers. We know there's plenty of you out there, but if you could do us a big favor of just, I mean, if you can do all the shows, great. But just, you know, your favorite shows, go on there, rate the shows, reviewing the shows even better. And currently, to give you a perspective on this, the feed for just the show, just Nerdy Show, the show, it has, in all the years that we've existed, it has 8 ratings. It's been rated 8 times, and it only has 2 reviews.
Whoa.
Excuse me. When I get home tonight, it's going to be 9. And maybe 3 reviews if you 10? Play your cards right.
The Nerdy Show Network, the feed for just the network, which has been around longer than all of our other independent feeds, it has 63 ratings. And 27 reviews, which is good.
I think that's all right. Not enough people know that
it could be
there.
Better. But not a people know how important it is. We didn't even realize how important it was. So now we're putting the word out, and we're gonna you know, keep putting the word out. If you can do this, great. That would be huge. And if you do it, we are going to read your comments on the air.
You don't even have to pay anything. You just, rate and review it, and you get a free comment on the air.
Here's some recent ones from January. Maha Utsukai-chan says...
that was actually pretty good.
Great, authentic nerd casting. 5 stars. If you're looking for a show run by nerds, for nerds, you've come to the right place. The hosts on each show come from all walks of nerddom, which makes for really entertaining discussion. This is my go-to podcast for commuting. I think that's a great review.
That was awesome.
Yeah. Whoever you are, you're awesome. Maha Utsukai-chan. Well done. Well done. And also, Goferg, which is the word gopher with a G at the end of it. Great source for all things nerdy. 5 stars. This series of podcasts cover everything from video games, movies, to the nerdy things of your youth. Many different perspectives, and I love all things nerdy. Definitely worth a listen. That may have been a typo because I had to record this in a Siri. But anyway, because you can't copy things in iTunes, so I had to dictate it. Anyway, it was dumb. But you guys are great. and shout out to Garrier, who may have written unique reviews for every single series we put out. You're a champion, man.
That guy, man. Shit. Do we have any like 1-star reviews that are like could have been better?
They're on the network feed. There were some. They're very old. Back when we used to play more music, there were some people being like, "Ballas music sucks, and they play too much of it."
I'm not. No comment.
I hate music.
It was Brandon.
I plead the fifth. Shh. I did not write. You think I would waste my lazy time?
I expect there to be at least a few reviews that are left that say, "My favorite episodes are the ones with boar in them."
Can you have more with Brandon on them?
Yeah, that's what we want.
Less boar.
Pit us against each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's do some kind of deathmatch thing. Why not? Why not? Nerdy Show Deathmatch. Coming soon. Anyway, other ways you can support. We got the Nerdy Show store, nerdyshow.com/store. Buy some t-shirts. We got all kinds of t-shirts there. All kinds of stuff you can get with Nerdy Show apparel. It's all good. Shop on Amazon, nerdyshow.com/Amazon. Follow our links and anything you buy on Amazon, anything you buy through our link, like anything you personally add, you follow the link, you add stuff to the cart, buy that stuff.
Can I throw out an evil idea?
Yes, please.
Since I'm all about evil. here's something that I've done on a computer or two, and you know you can bookmark the Nerdy Show link, right?
Yeah.
So that way you don't have to go back to the Nerdy Show page every time you want to go to Amazon and help us out. You can just make a bookmark of the link that you click.
It becomes your only portal to Amazon. Is our portal to Amazon?
Right. My girlfriend buys a lot of stuff on Amazon, so on her computer I replaced all her Amazon bookmarks.
I was gonna say like this doesn't sound evil. It's like you replaced.
It got there.
She doesn't even know you did it.
No, and that's just the beginning.
How much will you pay for us not to tell her you've changed all of her bookmarks?
She knows how to find this stuff.
Apparently not.
She's not going to know how to change it back. I don't know.
Anyway, Amazon now offers 20% off game pre-orders. So, Jesus Christ, you got your work cut out for you. There's so many games coming out
this
year.
So, you know, next month, if you want to get maybe Uncharted 4, Dark Souls 3.
Or you could pre-order the new Doom.
Yeah, just do that through the link. It doesn't actually cost you anything, but it gives us something.
And you get a sweet figure if you pre-order.
For Doom?
You have to buy the collector's edition. And
yeah, the collector's
expensive.
Edition.
I haven't looked into the new Doom.
But
the idea intrigues me.
You get
me,
it cheaper if you buy it through Amazon.
Yeah,
and you can feel good about yourself.
What do I need to know about the new Doom? What do I need to know? Because I haven't looked into it at all.
There's a chainsaw. You can rip things out and shove it in their holes.
Oh, I remember. I saw the City 3. I forgot, but I saw it. It was good. It looked good.
It's fast paced, interactive. It looks like how Doom should be, and it was how Doom was a long time ago.
It did play really well,
and the multiplayer looks like Quake.
It's
amazing.
Absolutely great.
I haven't played Quake.
It looks like more like a modern Quake, like Quake 4 or something, only updated even further. But fast-paced, first-person shooter.
I got you.
There's actually like a demo version of Doom out, or maybe it's the completed version that you can't play, but Conan O'Brien did on one of his like Clueless Gamer things.
Oh, yeah.
He played with like NFL people.
Well, they sent him advanced copies to do that.
And they didn't show much of it, but what I saw was great. And they were just like ripping pieces out of a demon and shoving
it in
their mouth.
It looked like
it
was difficult, and it looked
it's great. Like, you die, like you can die like that.
Yeah.
So
demons will just
snap my fingers for people
who
don't.
Pull your leg off or something.
Yeah.
But it looks amazing. May 13th, it comes out.
That's soon. Wow.
Pre-order it.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of games coming out. There's a lot of games coming out.
All of the games.
So I have a list.
I've seen the list. Should we publish a list on the forums or something? I don't know. But it's a hell of a list.
Let's read them right now.
Now, this is a little bit of old news, but I'm glad that we could have both Brandon and Nikki on the same episode. I want to talk about this.
Not me.
The Star Trek Beyond trailer. I thought looked like a lot of fun.
Sabotage! I can't stand it! Okay. I know you planned it! I'm gonna break this ride again!
I love that you're all Beastie Boy fans. Who isn't? Now explain to me, what about this trailer, any of you, is Star Trek related?
No. Yes, have you seen the original series, like, ever?
Yes.
You have?
Yes.
Like, one episode,
I saw Kirk getting it on with things sometimes, but I also saw them doing some science stuff, okay? Uh-huh. I didn't see Michael Bay explosions every 2 seconds.
Every time the bass hits during Sabotage, they cut to, like, a different alien or crew member.
Yes, so doing martial arts.
It looks like they're going to use a lot of different species.
Guys, okay. First off, Beastie Boys for a Star Trek trailer. It should be, like, a very slow orchestral build, okay? It's all it is, all everything they showed me. They didn't show me, I guess they... I understand they want to pull in everyone who doesn't care about Star Trek or science and just likes Michael Bay movies. So you've got CG nonstop, like unrealistic looking sets. You've got ships blowing up constantly. I don't know how many explosions are in the film, but 90% of the trailer is explosions. So I'm assuming multiply that by a factor of Michael Bay minus the J.J. Abrams.
You keep mentioning Michael Bay. I never attributed the prior Star Trek films to Michael Bay.
You see my problem with this one.
No, I don't.
Half of it is explosions and people doing martial arts.
He's not suggesting that Michael Bay had anything to do with it. He's just likening it to
Michael Bay. I think that was their inspiration for this movie.
Here's what I know about this film. Into Darkness was a piece of shit. The first one was pretty good.
It had Cumberbatch.
That was the only good thing about that film.
And I agree. And then his character sucked.
Well, the Klingons look cool.
It is directed by one of the Fast and the Furious directors, but it's written by Simon Pegg, and I trust that man with my life.
And supposedly he didn't like the trailer at all.
Yeah, he
said
like,
that the trailer was terrible and didn't represent the movie.
Yeah.
Everybody's judging it based off of Beastie Boys, and I really don't think that's fair at all. Put it on mute and then rewatch the flipping trailer.
But at the same time, why did they do it?
Can I tell you the entire plot without knowing it?
Oh, Jesus.
Okay, they have a ship. They're going to the frontier to explore. They don't have orders to do that, so they're kind of renegades. Their ship will get injured or explode.
Have you seen
They'll crash on a planet. There will be an alien who does martial arts for no reason, because I saw that in the trailer. She'll fall in love with Kirk, because you can't not have a female fall in love with Kirk. She'll probably die by the end of it, and then at the end of it, the Federation will be like, we forgive you, being the youngest and worst captain that ever lived, who should not have his own ship and hasn't passed any tests.
To me, it seems like it's going to be an amazing film that totally adapts like to the original series.
Why is Kirk captain in this movie?
He shouldn't have been captain ever. Like, don't get me wrong. He was a fun captain and a cool captain. But at the end of the day, he was not a smart, I don't know. I never felt like
my voice just went up an octave.
Captain.
So, you know, I'm serious.
That was Picard.
That was a full octave.
Yeah, like Kirk in the original show at least gave orders. In this one, he doesn't even know orders or regulations.
This is a different dimension.
Very calculated.
Different things have happened.
It is the same dimension until a certain point or a diverge, but he should have known regulation.
It's not, and here's why.
What?
Because in Star Trek Into Darkness, there's a scene where Kirk is making love with two feline ladies, as in ladies, human ladies with cattails. And those have been identified by that piece of shit screenwriter, what's his dick, who ruined Lost and Prometheus.
Abrams. What is J.J. Abrams.
No, not J.J. Abrams. I forget it. The mother. I spit on his name, but right
Star
now
Star Trek
I'm
Lost J.J. Abrams. I get really pissed off. So.
Right, it's the guy who wrote fucking Prometheus. He's a piece of shit. Anyway, those ladies were identified as being the same species as Mares from the Star Trek animated series, also seen in live action Star Trek films I think 5 and 6. Had them. Anyway, the Katians, the cat people of the Star Trek universe, and these are human ladies with tails. Very attractive, very easy to do, but not the...
Wow.
not the cat creatures from the actual Star Trek universe. Therefore, it's a completely different looking alien race, and the Klingons look completely different into darkness. Therefore, it's not the same universe.
I thought they just looked different because that was just like a retelling of like kind of how they look, but it's still the same new thing.
Everything.
But except that the first movie, it's not, and you've got the original Spock, and they tell us where it like
everything
screws up.
Was great until Into Darkness. Into Darkness shat the bed.
They took it too seriously. They did too much action. The original one was super campy, had a lot of fun, and but at the same time, they were low budget.
Look, I guess I'm going to see this movie when it comes out. Obviously.
Damon Lindelof. Fuck that guy. That's the guy.
If they, for once, and you'll agree with me on this, Boar, if they, for just 2 seconds of the trailer, mentioned dilithium crystals, I would have been totes okay with this shit. Like, oh, they're flying
did
in space.
You see
we've
got to
stop the aliens from getting all the dilithium crystals.
Yeah.
I don't know what that accent
use
was.
Use the tri-cobalt explosive.
I think did they use dilithium in the first series? I don't
think I think did. This did film they? Might be yeah. better than Star Trek Renegades, though.
No, you can't prove that to me. All I saw was explosions and kung fu. And Simon Pegg going, like, grabbing a cliff. We all know he can't do that.
I'm just...
this discussion...
I can't stand it! I didn't plan it! I did not plan it, actually. Well, maybe... No, no, I didn't. I'm just saying the trailer sucks.
Would you say that it got sabotaged?
I wonder if their ship got sabotaged, and that's why it gets like destroyed in the beginning.
Here's the plot
they
of the film.
They had a plan.
Oh,
now it's going wrong.
Here's the premise as dictated by Wikipedia.
Kirk was playing the Beastie Boys on the bridge.
The USS Enterprise crew, led by Captain James T. Kirk, has been attacked by a powerful, unstoppable wave of unknown aliens who destroy the Enterprise, leaving them stranded on a new planet where they find themselves in conflict with a new ruthless enemy while finding a way to get off the planet.
It's going to be so fun.
So, Star Trek 1 and 2. No, wait. Never mind. You know what? Patrick motherfucking Stewart, okay, Picard, did not have to fall in love with a woman every episode. Yeah, there was the occasional vacation where he went to, like, Rises or whatever and met that lady.
He
but,
was a much better captain. That's why he didn't hook up with every lady.
Why are they not making a new movie with Picard is what I'm
because
saying. Because I hate
can't.
Kirk. He could be
because
like Earl Grey tea, and it'd be like the most CGI-est teacup I've ever seen, and I'd love it.
If they were to do any film using Captain Picard again, they would have to use Patrick Stewart. And if they are going to use Patrick Stewart, then it has to be related to the actual series, and it will never make its way in. Well, that's
I'm okay with that. Yeah,
the other ones were in theater.
I mean, Star Trek right now is in a very strange place, and we'll have to see where it goes. It's all going to revolve around...
Supposedly they're making a new show.
Yeah, if that television series on whatever exclusive CBS...
I'm really hesitant
better than
to
Enterprise.
Get excited.
Enterprise was the shittiest thing that they could have ever, like produced.
What are you talking about? I love
hashtag
football.
Hashtag unpopular opinions.
Well, I hate Voyager, so eat that.
What the
That's
fuck?
My favorite.
Yeah, sorry. Whatever.
I don't like it
You're
much,
basically
but I watched all of
cancer
it.
Cancer to me.
Dude, I'm just saying, if I was the Borg and I was capturing males and females, I'd cut off all non-essential parts that serve no purpose and replace them with machines.
But then we wouldn't.
They
be
don't
able
need
to look
to
at people
like
seven
bows.
Of nine.
They don't need
Amazons.
To use any. I'm just saying they're faster with less material on them.
Sure. Yes, Brandon, I too have issue with the sex object of Jerry Ryan.
Nine to five.
And also Seven of Nine, and also What's-Her-Face, the Vulcan from Star Trek Enterprise.
Bleh.
Did not do it for me, sorry. Yeah.
But Jerry Ryan.
You know.
I just don't remember any of the characters from Voyager, except for Catherine Janeway.
Did you know that Seven of Nine's suit, like, she had to wear nothing underneath it, so they, like, had to basically build the suit for her, so that way everything stayed just perfectly. So everything that you see in that suit is like, that's her.
I thought they just put like glue on her, put the suit on, and it just stayed.
Basically.
And then at the end of the day, she jumps in a vat of like solvent and the
just
pulls off. Yeah.
Comes off. Yeah, that's exactly what
Whenever the four of us get together, it does get way more Star Trek-y than normal.
Sorry.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I like it. It honestly, it really had never happened until just this past like 6 months. So otherwise we had barely touched Star Trek, which is weird.
Just dilithium.
It's a shame.
Dilithium crystals is all I care about.
Let's talk about the VR stuff. VR stuff people want to talk about, Boar.
Yeah. There's so
oh,
much
so
going
Boar's
on.
The one who's
so much going on with VR.
What? What is the one who's what?
Yeah, I'm the one who's what?
interested in that video that you were showing me earlier.
The erotic applications of virtual reality using
it's not just virtual reality.
A cock piston.
Dude, you use a real thing. Like, that's for your real penis, correct?
Boris.
Yes.
You put your fake penis in a real object.
Men, you are
Hold on. Let's back up.
We do need to back up.
You have to establish what we're talking about here. We're running a professional show.
Talk about the penis machine, boy.
Well, you have to ease into the penis. You can't just...
I'm missing 30% of mine, so I just got to go for it. I just got to go straight for
it. That's been established to be a lie.
So. I don't remember that.
Pixar, it didn't happen.
Okay, so what you guys were just talking about was called the Virtual Dolls Controller. Mm-hmm. That comes with a video game called Girls of Arcadia, which shows off the technological wonders of this device.
We'll share a trailer with you guys. You can see this.
Yeah, we'll link to some visuals.
It's safe for work.
If you're a school teacher, play this.
But
in
basically,
if you want to answer some awkward questions, watch it at work.
It's a fleshy looking hole that has some stroking action.
All right, is it a piston?
It looks in tune with visuals.
Like, have you ever seen Naked Lunch?
What?
No, you
lost me.
Is that the movie with David Lynch makes an animated butthole?
Well, it's David Cronenberg, but yes,
that's what I meant.
This is basically looks like a steering column with a nondescript fleshy orifice, just a single hole. It doesn't look like a butthole. It doesn't look like a vajayjay. It just is a hole in this big fleshy expanse with two handlebars.
You have to be able to get a grip.
With two handlebars.
What's happening right now?
And it has inside of it like kind of like a scan arm of a printer, but with this like pressure piston so that it can. Like scan.
I think it can grip and it can slide.
Yeah, grip and slide.
I really hope it makes the sounds of a dot matrix too.
Yeah, I hope it does too. If it's not, it's not erotic.
I want it to have dial up sounds.
it could change depending on what you're connecting to your partner. Yeah. Oh jeez.
Connecting teledildonics. Bee bee bee
bee bee. So I mean, it's just like I get it.
So it's a device that comes with a VR game, and you put it on your peepee. And
yeah, and you can interact with it.
And you interact with the girls, and then
and
they'll do
she
things.
She interacts with you.
Is this a Japanese-made thing?
No, it's extremely American, actually, I believe. Yeah. What? It's in the U.S. of A.
Yeah, we don't make sex toys in this country, sir.
Japan put out that bird dating app.
Oh, God.
The game.
Hato Full Boyfriend.
That one.
Which everyone wants you to play. Yeah. Why haven't you?
There's a special Christmas add-on that came out. I don't know, guys. I don't know.
We'll see if we can get the Virtual Dolls controller so you can interact with it even further.
You know what? I would do that. Just for fun. You can film it. I'm going to
show it. Just starts, like, pecking feelings
from, like,
happening.
The waist up.
No, so no. Can... It's all or nothing. If I'm going all in, you're filming all of it. You can put a blur over it. I know you can do that. It'll have to be a very
full
large
penetration.
A very large blur.
I don't know who's going to be... I mean, probably a lot of men, but still, to me, the idea of seeing that
they
looks scary.
Had
I
a problem.
Feel scared for your penises.
They had to close pre-orders because there was too much of a demand.
Oh.
That was part of the story, that they had to close the pre-orders for a while at least.
Half of it was from other Nerdy Show
the thing is that
cast members.
The device was only about $150 on their Kickstarter to buy it.
Uh-huh.
Which...
That's low.
Not including
it is
the game,
kind of
though,
low.
Right?
No, it comes with Girls of Arcadia, which looked like a top shelf.
Girls of Arcadia is the Wii Sports of of this fucking machine.
I think the
idea is that you can use this device with other stuff that hasn't come out yet or probably actual VR porn.
Or just have sex with it without anything
This
on.
Is a can sure. of worms that...
Does it come with a can of worms to put on your junk?
It does.
I'm going to put the worms in the orifice.
That'd be like for the alien experience?
Yeah,
the worms prefer places like your butthole. It's more like being underground.
They don't really have it. It didn't look like urethra stimulation was part of this package here yet.
So, okay, can we talk about the game for a second? I know that's the least impressive aspect, but is it like one of those 2D anime dating sims? Or?
The way that they described it, they didn't go into too much detail, but you have to like save a girl. And then
from a monster, which
from
you fight.
Some sort of a monster.
Oh, I thought you meant like as a JPEG.
Some sort of an action element to it. You probably, I don't know how they have it.
I hope your penis is the sword, because otherwise, are you going to have to swap between, like, okay, I got my 360 controller paired with this thing right now. I'm fighting that. All right, set that down. Now grab onto the handlebars, which the fucking steering column fuck toy has, and now do that one. I think it should be all one controller. I mean,
what if it was random battles, like a monster appeared and you use your sword?
I can't confirm a monster this, appears. But I think those handlebars had little joysticks on top. If I remember correctly from one of the images.
Who has the coordination? you don't need to thrust. It's doing it, presumably. It's a piston.
I think it's to interact with menus and whatnot.
Yeah, but while you're doing it, the dirty, the nasty, the old stink
I think you can switch
hole?
Between a little bit.
Now, are you just trying to complete her, or is it trying to get you to completion? Because, I mean, how's it going to really know unless you just hit, like, okay, I'm done, and then you push the bitch off. Like, I don't.
Maybe it's like those flash animations of, like, it's like, all right, harder, faster, faster, orgasm. Click the orgasm button. You're ready to go.
It's probably something like that.
Have you ever been to a carnival and then you shoot the ducks? And there's like a little target. You hit it, and then the duck like flips. So there's a chamber in the back with a little metal prong, and you've got to hit it with your semen, and then it knows to turn it off.
Okay.
It's a little switch in the back.
That's where.
Making it, that's what I would do.
Have you guys ever seen? THX 1138.
You know, I never have.
I've seen 1137.
It's George Lucas's first film, and it's like based off of an even earlier like short film he had made. But there's a scene in there where he goes into this thing, and it's not virtual reality; it's actually holograms. And he gets to watch these holograms doing things, and all of a sudden he like hits this button. This thing comes down from the roof, attaches itself to his penis. And just starts doing stuff while he's watching the hologram, like, nudity. And that's what this reminded me of. Like, as soon as I saw this virtual reality thing, I'm like, oh, my God, George Lucas was right.
A self-cleaning thing usual, that comes from the ceiling sounds better.
The reason why I'm laughing is honestly because while you were saying that, I was picturing the Super Mario Brothers movie where the fungus came out of the ceiling. And I just picture Bob Hoskins sitting there and just getting, like, a tug job from the fungus.
A rum tugger.
And then John Leguizamo was just going, just dress the fungus, Mario. And he's like, what was it doing to my junk? Sorry. I can't do Cockney right now. Me junk in me butthole. Sorry.
So, Brandon, do you think you'll buy one of these? I mean, it's going to be difficult to get on the
waiting
list. I
may buy one and not tell you.
Okay. I can't think of anything more unappealing than this.
Here's the thing is they have devices like this already.
I can.
In
That's
sex,
not true. I can.
In sex stores, they're mostly for women, but I can put like a fleshlight on it, and it's a giant piston that moves, and then you just lube it up. You're good to go.
The thing for women, how could you make that work?
Let
for
me explain you? Something to you. There's a giant metal rod on a huge motor. It's like a piston. It moves back and forth.
Oh,
so the rod, yeah.
You're talking about the automatic like dildo.
You put
thing.
Dildos okay. on it, but you could unscrew the dildo and just like tape something else.
He knows
to
more
it.
About dildos than I do, so I don't.
I own more than you do.
Probably.
Wait, I don't know that. You don't know that.
I own zero dildos. So.
I own zero as well. Wink.
They're called vibrators.
That's right.
Vibrators are different dildos. Than dildos.
Yeah.
It's not even for
I knew
me.
That was going to come up after, like, she specified that there was zero. none of those!
It's got bunny
ears. Let's not talk about vibrators at all.
It's got bunny ears. Anyway.
Oh, dude, the bunny. I hear great things
no,
about that
you,
one.
No, you don't know this one. Anyway. What were we talking about, VR?
You ain't met Uncle Wiggly. You don't know about him.
I heard there was a game
He's
invented
customized.
That... stop people from being nauseous in VR for like 2 days.
No, seriously. It's not that there was a game invented. It's just that there was an experiment where a man for 48 hours stayed completely in virtual reality. Like he slept in virtual reality. I guess they fed him while he was in virtual reality.
No.
Well,
and they had a VR shaman who was directing
guiding him.
His experiences.
What I was reading about it is that there was there's the HTC, it's from the HTC Vive.
Vive.
I got to use
headset, which is partially
you
made
did?
By...
I did.
Hashtag jealous.
It's made by Valve, too, which I didn't realize.
HTC and Valve, yeah.
And
I got to use it in October.
That's rad, man.
It was before
talk about,
it was
we need to
patented.
Talk about that later.
I want to know about that shit.
There's a company that I read claimed they created a game that or an experience you could stay in for like that long and you wouldn't experience nausea. So I thought that that's what this was experimenting
I read
was
something
about
a virtual nose. where if they nose in virtual reality, then like it gave your vision like a reference point.
Mm. And oh, weird.
It made you less sick. I don't know if that was something that was integrated.
Well, it's similar. What I was reading, there was a company called Cloudhead, and they made a specific game called like Blink or something, and it lets you interact with your environment, so it doesn't trick your eardrum into thinking you're moving when you're not, like, because most VR games are sitting or standing.
Well, the Vive, you can basically set up a holodeck in your
exactly.
house.
And that's what stops you from getting nauseous is your eardrums, like the fluid is actually moving with you, so you're not getting nauseous. You're actually moving and experiencing things. So this guy said they made him take special medicine and liquefied like banana and chocolate so he didn't pee for 2 days.
Yeah, pee or poop, like no kind of.
And he slept in a cave under the stars. Hours. That was VR for only 2 hours a day. He slept.
I didn't hear anything about this peeing or pooping.
Guys,
thing.
I read.
Yeah,
this.
What I'm saying. Like that's it was one live. Of the things I wanted filmed, to talk about was oh. because like I was like there was some health. Like unhealthy stuff that it's like, oh, well, he didn't experience nausea. And I'm like, well, they had him on so many drugs so he wouldn't have to use the bathroom that how can you honestly be able to judge what the rest of his
that
body
doesn't
was
sound like,
like
a valid test.
No, that's not at all. That's incorrect.
That's the
that is not
point.
How you look
like,
to empirical evidence
like,
science
you even
pills or no pills. If you're wearing a VR helmet for over an hour, you're going to want to throw up anyway. So I think that's 48 hours is pretty damn awesome.
Maybe they gave him like Dramamine
or
I don't,
whatever.
But like that's cheating. I don't know.
Seizure medication.
Weird.
I would
but
get
you,
a migraine.
You actually used Vive?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. What did you think of it? Because that's the one that's winning in my VR war.
It like, was.
I'm going to throw down some money hard on this stuff.
Experience. I've used like the Oculus and things like that. Mm-hmm. This is beyond that. The like crispness.
That's what everybody says.
But see, I've seen people use it on like the Jimmy Fallon show and shit like that. But whatever they're using looks like crap. It doesn't even begin to show you what you can actually do with this stuff. It is like you could go under the table and like be able to look into things. Everything interactive. It's very clear for one thing. Like at one point there was like a hologram and the dude looked like Morpheus from
The Matrix.
Okay. Like he was just like this hologram dude and they're like trying to get me through and like you could step in this portal and it would take you somewhere else and then all of a sudden you're in another room. And then I was at one point it was for Halloween time, so it was like a
Did
horror
they have the full,
game.
Like holodeck thing set up
oh yeah.
Walk around
oh,
and stuff?
Yeah, there was a lady in the room with me, like making sure like she would
was
carry
this
the
part
wires.
She come with? Was this that secret Halloween Horror Nights thing?
It was.
Awesome. I heard rumors of this.
You know what? Yeah. This is going to create a great new Second Life. Is what
you
I'm...
play Second Life?
No.
Oh,
I said a great.
I didn't get
new
excited.
Second Life. David Bowie did.
Oh,
one.
How many position balls do you have?
But okay, no,
I got them all.
Way too many. But I learned how to script them all.
The reason why the Vive is on my radar now is because that's the first one that claims, and I read this, maybe false, that claims you can have a nausea-free experience with it. No, the Oculus can't do that. The Morpheus can't do that. I don't know why.
The Oculus, yes, it
I don't know how HTC
different.
And Valve beat out like Microsoft and Sony and
it's
like all
the
these
depth.
Other companies. So.
I think it's the depth of field.
Well,
it,
and
it really like
and Google.
You don't
they beat out
that
Google.
Valve could do that. I mean,
they. Well, I don't believe Valve. They can even put out is, a new Half-Life.
Well,
so.
And we still haven't seen what Magic Leap is working on. Magic Leap is the company that like everyone is chucking millions and millions of dollars at, well beyond the investment capital.
I hope it's nausea free, or I'm not getting it.
VR thing. I mean, it's like in it's Hollywood investors. It's people who are possibly investing in the next step in entertainment, the next major. Genre of entertainment is and it's all pointing to Magic Leap and they've publicly shown some videos but they haven't publicly shown any hardware or even let on to what it is they're really doing.
They have nothing. They just have everyone's money and they're going to skip
well,
town.
Well, they have shown, I mean, they have had investors come to their private space in Dania Beach, Florida and
do you have the address?
I think I could find
Let's
it.
Let's go there.
Say it right here on camera.
anyway, so you know the important people have tested this hands-on, and it's just all behind a massive wall of secrecy. We only know that tons of money are being poured into Magic Leap.
Important is subjective, Cap.
Guillermo del Toro?
Oh, shit. Oh, man.
You
remember that?
Made
remember that?
A spit take
oh,
with
shit.
His beer.
Wait. Fuck everyone. Okay. Guillermo del Toro, he's looking at this great new VR thing that's possibly being made.
Magic Leap?
Yes. Yeah, whatever. And he's putting money into it.
Uh-huh.
And Silent Hills never got made. VR Silent whatever the fuck.
Did you play PT? I think we talked about
this. And then my
you told me how
system,
to make a new account.
My system. Oh, yeah.
You can't delete it anymore.
Guess what? I saved you, and my system died, and I can never download it again.
Well. Yeah.
I hate life. Anyway.
I think they're caught in a conversation loop.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry, guys.
I'm getting deja vu.
Yeah, this has happened before.
Anyway. Guillermo del Toro, he's definitely going to be working on a horror game with whatever VR is available. I'm assuming.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So we're basically at time, man. There's still stuff I wanted to cover. I even had a dream, a magical dream.
Yeah. What if we end on your dream? I wanted to know what your dream was. Can you, like, paraphrase?
Yes.
For me? Because I don't know what it is.
Well, I have it written down because it's kind of weird. I don't know. It's kind of complicated.
You need your own show where you're just like, hey, guys.
Well, it doesn't happen often enough for me to...
Cap dreams.
Well, that's why you just make, like, a sound cloud. It's like a song, you know? Like, you're writing a song, right? You know, it's art.
Okay. Digital jazz. Yeah.
digital style.
You know what? No. This
you
is
have
fun.
Amazing That's dreams. Brilliant. So,
Cap, you saw the original. This is going to be weird. The original animated Hobbit movies. You know how those like a minstrel singing every 2 seconds? Uh-huh. That's how you should read out your dreams. And then I went. Just do that. Can you do that for me? Can you please do
just
that for
me? Sing your dream.
Not now. Not now.
Can
just
you,
at a later
can you
time.
Air loot while he's doing it?
Yes, no, I can, I've got some sort of instrument that has strings on it I can play later.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to try, but I think it's going to crash
an
and burn.
Dude, I'll learn how to play it.
Yeah.
I have it written down, so I have it written down, so I guess this is what we'll close on. I'm not going to fucking sing it. Like,
you're going to keep everyone in suspense who's listening to this. And you know what? That's great radio. Do that.
What?
Tune in next time,
I'm going to read it. Ah, fuck it. It's too long. TLDR. Next time, maybe.
I mean, I'll just build up it for something wholly unremarkable.
For $1,000.
There was a scene. This is just an excerpt of a whole montage of Knight's dreaming that was. This is the only part that I can really focus on. There's a scene. What would have been the opening sequence for a film, set in the American acquired Spanish West. It's Knight. In the ruins of some Spanish-style building, only a few of the walls are up, and it's kind of – the land is a bit hilly, and the old walls have some lit torches. I don't know why. So some inspectors arrive, some, like, police inspectors. But they're special police types. They're kind of, like, vaguely British even though it's wrong, like the style of their clothes anyway. They don't look like they belong in the Old West necessarily. And there's a dead man, and just beyond is his assassin, who's also dead. And there's a man on the ground who's unconscious, and that man is a man named Agent Queen. Mm. He'd have preferred to keep the assassin alive, but it was a deadly battle, and he'd barely come out alive himself. Fortunately, the dead man had a clue on him, the first dead man, via the assassin's gun, a glowing bullet, which was radioactive. Mm. So if the shot didn't kill him, the contamination would. However, the properties of radiation, of course, weren't relatively unfamiliar to the inspectors at this point in time, even though they're from a science division.
This is, sounds like the,
it's so
the,
in depth.
This sounds like a story in Detective Pikachu. Keep going.
It turns out
Pikachu.
This is the opening scene for a new Zorro film.
Oh.
Where they've included a lesser known pop culture figure for fun, Agent Queen.
Not Freddie Mercury.
Not Freddie Mercury. Okay. Agent Queen is a literary character whose super science in the Old West exploits were most recently adapted by Dynamite Comics in the title Queen and Country. This is not true. This is not a real thing.
You dreamt about that. How many hours or drugs or NyQuil do you have to take to have such vivid dreams?
I fall asleep immediately.
Like, you have a backstory for a thing that doesn't exist, and has a backstory.
This is a reoccurring thing.
No, I know. It's insane.
Yeah.
How does your brain work?
I think the reason that when it's a dream that I remember, it's because part of my conscious brain is actually actively trying to figure out what's happening. This is just an assumption.
What if you're having
a
stroke?
So I try to place meaning in it. So I realize that it's a film, and the film is an adaptation, and the adaptation comes from this thing. So there's no such thing as Agent Queen. Dynamite Comics is a real comics company. They do put out Zorro. They are the publisher of Zorro Comics. But the title of this book is called Queen and Country. Is the name of the book. And there was a comic called Queen and Country, which I've never read, and I didn't remember. I looked it up because I thought certainly this must exist. And it does. It was published by Oni Press between 2001 and 2007. It was written by Greg Rucka, who's a great writer. But so this Queen and Country, this is about a science investigator agent for the American government in the Old West. The dream then segued once the realization happened that it was a film, and that this character was recently seen in a comic book, then turned into sort of, there's a narrator focus, which I suppose could be me, who's convinced this, recognizes the inspector and tries to figure out, okay, where does this character come from? So then that narrator then finds a volume of Queen and Country to flip through. And it's weird because it's has comic elements to it, but it's largely a prose book. Like, they've actually directly adapted the novels that this character came from. And there's like intermittent, illustrations in sequence, some like word balloons and so on. And then at the back, there's an ad showcasing there's at least 6 volumes of Queen and Country. And including a volume 0 that was the character's first appearance in print from Dynamite, which was, as typical from a small publisher, some kind of paranormal crossover featuring a number of the characters that publisher licensed. So it was Agent Queen and Zorro and the Phantom and a bunch of other guys.
This is all still fake.
Yes, none of this happened.
And people say, I'm good at lying. You're so good at lying, you do it in your sleep. Because everything you said, I would totally believe is a real thing.
And here's the most intriguing part about this whole thing. It is that I'm flipping through this book. And there's a scene where Queen was with a woman who is like an anthropomorphic tree, like Groot. And maybe she's a woman who's been turned that way by a super science experiment.
Did she have a name that she just repeated?
No, not such luck.
Exactly. Like
I don't know why this woman was a tree. It was a tree woman. Maybe she was a woman who became a tree.
Like a Pocahontas lady?
No, like Groot.
She was a tree.
Straight up.
She was let's say a Groot, but it's a lady Groot.
Okay.
Anyway, she's dying.
Okay.
So he puts her in a bathtub filled with water, and he's like really. He's despondent. He's grief stricken. And he like unbuttons his shirt and he gets in too, in the water, like holding her. And the sequence lasts a full year in the tub.
Wait, so did you like experience this? Like, oh God,
no,
it's been a year.
It was a sequence of panels across several pages, where the tree woman is unmoving and Queen stays there with her, growing emaciated and then presumably dead. But while the tree woman at first wilts and shrivels, eventually, she begins to sprout new leaves, and cold images in the comic book turn into shots of like the sun hitting her through a window as she blossoms. Her body blossoms and grows again. Eventually, she wakes up only to find Queen withered and holding her. And by some means that I couldn't figure out, she's able to revive him.
Mm. Can I ask a question?
Yes, please.
Wait, is that the whole dream?
That's it. Yeah.
How, if you can remember, how many hours did you sleep that night?
Probably 8. Probably a good 8 hours.
Huh. Okay, I'm just wondering how many hours I need to sleep to have dreams again. I sometimes have dreams, but only if I don't work the next day and I'm asleep for 13 hours, and then it's a horrible mess anyway.
Yeah, later on there was a part where I was on a train with Dave Chappelle, and the train turned into Legos, and then there were
there's more!
There was an observation that, like, oh man, the train crashes, and they're like, oh, there's a disaster, man. There's all these smoldering bodies. I sure hope this isn't a zombie scenario, because that would be... tired, and
why were you thinking of Dave Chappelle in your dream?
I don't know. I have
he,
no idea.
He has not been
huge,
relevant to you.
I mean, I
ever.
Like the guy, but I've never followed his career. And then there were zombies, but they were life size Lego minifigs, and I remember distinctly bashing one of them in the head with the The Spawn the movie playset for the Spawn alleyway playset for the that they released for the movie, which came with a
what?
Where's
so
this
random.
Going?
I don't know.
I've been lost for like the last.
I feel like it's never gonna
five
end.
Five or what? 10 minutes here.
This is a different dream.
It was.
Is this a different dream?
It was in the same cycle of sleep, but it was a different.
It's a different story.
When the Spawn movie came out, they had a separate line of Spawn figures that were just for the movie, and I didn't fucking care.
How do you
Spawn.
Even remember that?
But it was interesting because in this playset, Todd McFarlane had a figure made of himself as a hobo.
Is that real?
That is real.
And I want one.
I feel like I remember that for some reason.
Well, Toy Fair magazine used to use it all the time. They thought it was hilarious.
Well, that's like his true form.
Yeah, but anyway, so I hit a Lego zombie in the face with that with an inbox Spawn Alley place.
Oh, good. That's what you do with it.
Yeah, that's my story. We've gone over time, and thanks for listening.
Wow.
Wow.
That was great.
Yeah.
I don't know about them, but I'm extremely glad you shared that.
Thank you.
I'm your number one fan.
The takeaway is we all need to learn how to dream like Cap does.
No. Dude. No, I like my dreams. The ones I don't have. Thank you.
Although it sounds like it would feel like work. And yeah. Then I'd wake up and I'd be like,
anytime I have dreams that are vivid like that, they're usually really like depressing or just sad. They're not like, so I was like on this movie set and I was like doing all this cool shit and there was like a tree woman, like nothing like that. It's like, so all my friends died and then
what is weird is the ones that I've been remembering lately that I've shared on the show have all had a lot of pop culture references and connotations and inception levels of like degrees of media property.
Yeah.
That's not normal for me. There's vivid, sure, but that isn't normal, but it's just been happening more and more.
Maybe you work, I don't know, too much.
Entirely possible.
Maybe. I know, doctor, but you do have a problem.
But I'm having fun anyway, so whatever.
There you go.
Yeah, so I guess we'll wrap here. Thanks so much for listening. Let us know your favorite parts, what you'd like to hear more about, and remember, if you can rate and review us on iTunes, that would be amazing. Just any show on the network, as many as you can. It's awesome. Rating is super easy to do. Reviewing, even better if you can do it, but just rate everything. We'll actually be have a thing somewhere on the site sometime soon where we'll be able to give you kind of like an outline of easy ways to link to all this stuff, but that's coming later. Anyway, thanks, guys. Ta-ta for now. Bye, I'm Cap.
Bye, I'm Boar.
Bye, I'm Brandon.
Bye, I'm Nikki.
I think you are. Yeah, okay. Let's roll with that.
Everybody else sounded really unsure, so I just figured I was like, I don't...
Yeah.
Are we really?
Yeah. Taking us out as a Pokemon track, this is by DigiDestined, a collab between rapper Sky Blue and a number of other folks. In this case, Sublime Cloud and producer Ru Kanetsu. It's from their first release, Episode 1, Clouded Dreams and Beautiful Memories, and this is a track called HM2. I'm a traveling man, got my HM2 in the palm of my hand. Take a flight over lands, I'm exploring the globe. You never know where I'ma go, you know? Yeah, cause I'm a traveling man, got my HM2 in the palm of my hand. Take a flight over lands, I'm exploring the globe. Know where I'ma go, you know. Showed up to Tokyo, France, to the UK. Mapping out my dreams, though it seems a touche. It do take time on this journey of life. For different monsters popping up in this grass at night. But stay ready for the fight. I've been training for this. Never know what jinx blow the fantasy kiss. I dish like an entree. Watch what the mind say. Leave my destiny, never bad like Beyonce. Gotta get up, get out and see the universe. If you need an example, I'll do it first. And reimburse for the purchase. Never living worthless. Value every day before it's curtains. I'm a traveling man. Got my HM2 in the palm of my hand. Take a flight over lands. I'm exploring the globe. You never know where I'ma go. You know? Yeah, cause I'm a traveling man. Got my HM2 in the palm of my hand. Take a flight over lands. I'm exploring the globe. You never know where I'ma go. You know? Deep breaths, I'm preparing for the liftoff. Rather live happy, not die pissed off. Kiss stars on my way to the moon. You ain't gotta wait for me, I'll be back real soon. Suitcase packed, Pokédex and a lot of balls. It takes guts trying to stomach when destiny calls. Can't avoid it, repel's not an option. Keep escape routes from life's caves you get lost in. From Austin to NC, backpack never empty. Compiled of dreams, I'm immensely dedicated. We never segregated. Black, white, blue version, mine gold plated. I done waited so long, it seemed far-fetched. I took a few L's from them, but I still catch what they throw at me. I'm living so happy and trying to keep my head straight. I was so nappy. Reactivator, granny racer champ, I'ma have to thank her. An active banker, cause I always check at my tracks that I left back. Capture my setbacks, God gon' bless that. Where I'ma rest at, but skip that. Sleep when I'm dead, never led with death at. Respect that, flight attendant know me as blue. Don't forget sky and the blue Mountain Dew. I'm a traveling man, got my HM2 in the palm of my hand. Take a flight over lands, I'm exploring the globe. You never know where I'ma go.
cause I'm a traveling man. Got my ATM too in the palm of my hand. Taking flight over lands, I'm exploring the globe. You never know where I'ma go.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud, or give us your feedback at nerdyshow.com/survey. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. And be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we got it covered.
Ow!
I didn't fuck up.
You did it.
Well, maybe one word.
I'm okay. Number one son.
I think I said sponsorships, but just, I've got a speech impediment. Don't make fun of me, assholes.